Well, hey, everyone. We're so glad that you are here wherever you're watching with us around the world today as we start our brand new series called Peaks and Valleys. Peaks and Valleys. That was my best voice I could do outside of Welcome to Peaks and Valleys. The reason we're going through this series, to be quite honest with you, is right now, all of us can say we may be on a peak or a valley, but let's be real. Most of us can say we're probably somewhere on the ladder in a valley at this moment in time, and we're going to be walking through in this series how Jesus teaches us things on the peaks, on the mountaintop moments that carry us and shepherd us through the valleys that we're in. And so right now when I say, what's the difference between peaks and valleys? Well, peak is that mountaintop moment. We all have those. Maybe it was a graduation. Maybe it was a wedding. Maybe it was making your first paycheck and you laminated it and never cashed it, so it's sitting on your wall and it is doing nothing to help you in your bank account. Maybe it was getting a new car, or maybe it was giving your life to Christ. Maybe it was the birth of a child. Whatever that is, we have peak and defining moments in our life. And sometimes in that moment, we neglect what Jesus is teaching us in it. And so that's what we want to walk through, because honestly, right now, like I said, I believe that many of us would say that we're in a valley. It feels like a 19-month valley, doesn't it? It feels like we have been in a valley for over a year right now. And so where we are right now is we're going to be anchored in this verse throughout the series. And it's Psalm 139:10. If you're watching right now and you saw the intro, it is this: even there, your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. And so that's what we're going to be walking through throughout this whole series. And today, as we keep going and walking through that, we're going to be learning through refined by fire. And we're going to be in 1 Peter 1. And this is why we're doing it, okay? Before you get there in your Bible is, like I said, many of us would say we're in a valley. And let's just be real. We're in an unprecedented moment in time for many of us. We still are. We absolutely are. Some of us for the first time, but we talked about it at the welcome a little bit. We talked about it and we prayed about it. But yesterday, when we as of the recording of this, today is September 12th. So if you're watching this, we're one day after the 20th commemoration of 9/11, okay? And with that, for many of us, perhaps for the first time, we experienced something outside of us, an external pressure that we couldn't control that led us into chaos. It led us to a space and place where we questioned things we never questioned before. The questions that might have been there is like, how could anyone do this? Were we really this naive that it could happen? Where was God in all of this? Is God over this? How am I doing with God? Like, we ask many questions at 9/11 of how that happened. Many of us remember where we were. Many of us remember what we were doing. Many of us would even say our life was changed. And some of us right now, we're in this same moment when it comes to this pandemic, endemic, whatever in the world we're calling it nowadays. We would say we're still in this unprecedented time where there's an external force that is a pressure upon us. Like, internally, culture gives us internal pressures, like stress and anxiety. Do they like me? Do they get along with me? How do I look like? How do I feel? But when we have these external pressures upon us, it compounds where we are and leads us down one of two paths. The first path would be in a space and a place that would lead us to the wrong decisions. Most of the time, those wrong decisions lead us to a depression and anxiety that can lead us to addiction and ultimately lead us to death. But you see, in Christ Jesus, there's a different path. There's a different path we can take. The path that leads us to the right choices. The path that leads us better on the other side of the valley, the other side of the season, the other side of the unprecedented time than how we walked in it. And that can only be accomplished through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're talking through today, as we learn through refined by the fire. So I'm going to say something. If we get kicked off, I'm sorry. I don't know who to give proper credit to, but I heard this from pastors growing up. And so I'm just going to say I heard this from pastors growing up, because it's something we're searching for in this moment in time. The same thing we were searching for on September 12th, 2001. And that's peace. Peace. Pastor said this all the time when I was growing up, and this is what we have to understand in this unprecedented moment, is the world will not be at peace until all have made their peace with God. The world will not be at peace until all have made their peace with God. And that's what we're searching for right now is peace. We're trying to find peace in this unprecedented time. We're all trying to have, some folks, the peace is health. Some folks, the peace is safety. Some folks, the peace that they're searching for is to get back to the way things were in 2019. But I'm just here to tell you, growing up before 9/11 and growing up in it, there's never going to be a moment in time where I don't go through a TSA pre-check the rest of my life. It completely changed my life. It completely changed what we were walking through. And if my peace was that I didn't have to pay extra baggage fees that were supposed to disappear after the airplane companies recovered, we're probably getting kicked off for that too, sorry, that are still there, that you still gladly pay over 50 pounds when you pay that extra fee, that never went away. You used to be able to not have to pay that. Your life changed. And what it's showing us is the things in this world will never give us peace. Only Christ can give that, because the world will tell you the only way you can experience peace is if you carry the weight of it. And my friends, this moment in time is teaching us that if we carry the weight of our peace, we will be crushed by it. We'll be crushed by it. So if you've got your Bible today, let's get to 1 Peter 1. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one free for the asking. If you're looking to see where 1 Peter 1 is, you start at the back of your Bible in Revelation, you keep flipping left, and really quickly you'll get there. Our Vine production team's absolutely incredible. They're going to make sure it's on the screen today, but also you can follow along with us on the Vine Church app. Go to thevine.tv/app. You can actually watch the service live on that as well, but it'll have all the scripture, a space, and a place for you to take notes, a place for you to just write a comment on our prayer wall, how we can partner in prayer with you. And we would love to see you do that wherever you are. So go ahead and get to your Bible to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. We're going to hang out in a few verses there as we learn through Refined by the Fire. And we're just going to see how we can go through this season, even in a valley, and come out stronger and better on the other side of it. Verse 1 says this. We're going to start in verse 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, before we go on, I just want to say, maybe you never heard about Peter. I've been told a lot of times I'm like Peter, and I would probably say I am. You know me, I have an affinity for the Gospel of John, and it's because it's the disciple I'm least like. John is the loved disciple, and it is what I would love to be known as that disciple, but it's not who I am. I'm Peter. I'm hard-headed. I'm stubborn. I ask stupid questions. Jesus could give me the answer, say he's the bread of life, multiply and feed 5,000 in front of me, and I would still just be like, what does that mean again? Like, what do you mean you're the bread of life? Like, we talked about the woman at the well, and he said it's living water, and he just said, what does this mean again? Like, what? I don't get it, Jesus. You see, here's the thing about Peter, and this is why we're going to start here. Maybe this is where you are in this season. Peter, whether you know this, is so important. He goes there and he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter is the one who denied Jesus, deserted Jesus, scattered, went away. When Jesus was going to the cross, a little girl says, hey, you were with him. And a little girl intimidated him so much, which, let's be real, sometimes little girls can do that. So can little boys. Kids can intimidate you sometimes. That's why I give them candy. Whatever that is, I just keep loading them up on sugar. Intimidated him so much that he denied Jesus. He denied the thing that would give him peace because he wasn't paying attention. So I'm very much like Peter. I'm stubborn there. But yet Jesus still worked through him. The disaster that was his walk with Jesus, the wreck that was his walk with Jesus, Jesus restores him on that shore, and he goes, and Peter is an apostle. He is a leader of the early church, an uneducated man. As a matter of fact, if you go back and read this in its original context, like Peter's letter here, it is completely grammatically incorrect. Like, it is not great grammatically. If you put Paul beside Peter and all that Paul wrote in the New Testament, you would just be like, does this guy, like, can he read? Yeah, that's me. Read my handwriting, you'll know. It is what it is. Is that a T, an I, or an L? Whatever you want it to be, okay? Like, that's where Peter was. And yet Jesus still worked through him. Maybe in this season right now, you are sitting on the sidelines, you know who Jesus is, you see what's happening, and you think you're too far gone for him to use you. And my friend, that is impossible. I am living proof of it. Peter is saying he is living proof of it, that none of us are too far gone for Christ, because Christ works through us, not because of how great we are, not because we have it all together, not because we tithe, not because we serve, not because we go to the soup kitchen, not because of everything that we do. He works in and through us in spite of us. In spite of us. I'm living proof of it. In spite of us. So today, wherever you are, maybe that's the valley you're in. Would you trust Jesus that you're never too far gone to be used by him? Because if he can use me, y'all, he can use anybody. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect. More on that in a minute. Now pay attention to this. Exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Exiles. How many of us have feel like the past 19 months we have been exiles in isolation in a world where we're locked down? We only see people on the other side of the screen. We don't have interaction. I mean, we feel like exiles. And the reason that's important is because Peter's saying, hey, this isn't the first time in history this has ever happened, where something externally is pressing upon you and makes you feel like something else. Like, it makes you feel like stress, anxiety. It makes you feel like, really, you don't have control. But it makes you lose control and realize what you need to lean into. So Peter's saying, hey, an apostle of Jesus Christ to those who were in exile all over the world at that moment in time. Now, before we go on and we talk about the valley, you've heard me a lot of times say I'm not a prosperity gospel guy. I'm just not. It just isn't, and this is why. Prosperity gospel wouldn't allow people to be in exile scattered across the known world. See, prosperity gospel says, hey, just come to Jesus, all your problems melt away. You will not face any trial, any hardship. You will never have to deal with anything ever again. It is better than a lottery ticket. All you got to do is pray for that brand new Boeing 747 to land in your front yard and you're going to be able to drive it next week. That's what prosperity gospel tells you. Yet the time we live in, and what Peter is writing here is to say, even those of us who are in Christ Jesus live in a broken world that will make us experience trials, will make us experience valleys that we walk through. So Peter says, hey, Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to all the exiles scattered in the provinces, look at this, verse 2, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. So in the midst of the valley, Peter is saying, hey, you can have the peace of God, the grace of God in abundance, the thing that you're searching for, but you got to understand this before you get there. He gets to the heart of the issue. Those who have been chosen. If you can hear my voice, see me, sees captions on a screen, you have been chosen for this moment. And here's why I know that. If you're in Christ Jesus and you weren't chosen for this moment, you would be with him already in eternity. But we're chosen for this moment. The most important thing that you can learn about anybody, especially in the midst of a valley, is what they think when they think about God. Who is God? Is God with me? Has he abandoned me? Has he deserted me? Have I done something wrong? Does he hate me? Am I Job? Dear God, let's not be Job. Like, but we can find a job. I'm just saying. Like, let's not be Job, but we can find a job. Trust me, they're everywhere. Like, whatever that looks for, like, what is going on when you think about God in the midst of the valley? And we're going to learn through this and see even Jesus himself said, in the valley, it may feel like you're all by yourself. And sometimes it's just you and God, but that's all you need. And that's how you have his peace and abundance. And wherever you are right now, maybe it's been 19 months of this pandemic. Maybe you got vaccinated. Maybe you did all the right things because you were told that that's how we get back to normal. Here we are. By God's grace, we still get to meet, but we're still in the same space and place. This is what I'm getting at. Your worldview of peace is crumbling right now because it can't sustain the weight of everything that's going on around us. So as Peter is writing this, and he's going to be talking about the early church and what they're walking through, the thing we've got to remember is we've been chosen for this moment, but the difference is what we do with it. Because the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped working. You see, when we think of God, some of us, a deist worldview would tell you, well, God put it all in motion and he's just sitting back, sitting up there, and he's surprised by this pandemic. He doesn't know what's going on. He's waiting for somebody to pray the right prayer, to do the right thing, and then he'll move. Well, that doesn't work. That's not how this works. It's not how any of this works. I take you off my wall. Whatever that is, like, that's not how this works. See, the Holy Spirit's been working. See, remember Genesis 1, if you've never heard, thank you so much. If you've never heard the gospel, you've never heard who Jesus is, you're kicking the tires of Christianity, trying to figure this out, hang in here with me. Just hear what I'm trying to say here. The Holy Spirit's been at work from the beginning of the foundations of the earth. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and formless, and his Spirit hovered over the waters, over the deep. It's been working since then. If you don't think the Holy Spirit is working in you, I want you to think back in your life. Who is the teacher that encouraged you? Who's the coach that saw something in you that no one else saw? Who's the parent that encouraged you? Who's the loved one that came alongside you? That time where you didn't realize that you needed X amount of dollars to pay the bills and you knew there was no way that it could get in there any other way. Like, would you believe the Holy Spirit's at work? Like, the Holy Spirit is still at work in this season. Will we trust that we are chosen to be obedient in it and have his grace and peace be in abundance in us to share it with the world? How do we do that? Verse 3 through 5. Praise. We could just stop there. Praise. Praise. How do we show it? Praise. What we praise, what our treasure is, what we do, praise. Praise. Peter says, praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into what? A hope that fades. A hope that's in the new car. A hope that's in an electric vehicle. A hope that we survive the storm. A hope that's in something in healthcare. A hope that's in something in a weight loss regimen. A hope that's in my physical shape, my address shape, my car shape. Thank you, Jesus. My car shape, anything. Like, do we have a hope in that, in a thing of this world? No. The things of this world, the hopes of this world will only lead to death. Peter says, look, he gets straight to the source. He has given us a new birth into what? A living hope. A living hope. That's what we share with the world in this pandemic. A living hope. A living hope. Hope that will not fade. It is eternal. He says, how do we get it? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm going to end this way with this. But death, that is the number one fear we have as humans. It is the thing that will either draw us to Jesus or push us away from him. Death. I don't care what you say. What is the thing that you say? Well, I was running through that hall and I was scared to. Death. Death. It is the thing all of us fear as human. But in Christ Jesus, we don't fear what others fear the most. Because he's overcome death. And so we're not afraid of death. We're not afraid of what will kill us because he is in control. Think of Paul on that ship going to Malta bit by a snake. We're not going to get snakes. Don't get excited. There are not going to be snakes come out here. But Paul bit by that snake. And he says, hey, God's not done with me. I've got to go before Caesar. And he knew that. Like, living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And look at this. And into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. That fruit we talked about last week. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter is saying we long for something deeper than us, that's deeper than the surface level of this season, deeper than the valley that we're in, deeper than the mountaintop we just stepped off of. There's something inside of us that we search for, and the only thing that can sustain us in that is Christ Jesus. Peter goes on to say in verse 6 and 7, in all this you greatly rejoice. I'll be honest with you, in the valley I don't feel like rejoicing. Man, I love to get a good complaint on. I'll tell you right now, sometimes those prayers, man, I love. Where is the suggestion box? Just sew that in, fill that up. And you do a lot of, like, one-word suggestions. I don't like this. Like, you know, you just get as many as you can to fill that box up. Like, but in Christ, we can rejoice even in the valley. Why? Because though now for a little while you may suffer grief, many of us have been in grief during this unprecedented time. And all kinds of trials, there we go. We're going to have trials even in Christ Jesus. Why do we have those? These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes though refined, perishes even though refined by fire, may result in what? Praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. So like I said, I don't like the prosperity gospel because it teaches you something false. That when you come to Jesus, you'll never have trial. And as a matter of fact, Jesus never said that. He said, in this world, you will. We're going to talk about that in a minute in John 16. But in this world, you're going to experience trial. So what if we believe that we had to go through this for a reason? What if we believe that we had to go through this trial and suffering because we couldn't necessarily flourish unless we did? We couldn't be who he created us to be. Like in this moment, would we trust that? Would we trust as we go back into this crazy chaotic season, would we trust that? Would we trust that we have to go through it? Like, do we believe that Jesus died for us to survive, or do we believe that he died for us to thrive? That's the real question to answer. Are we just trying to survive? Listen, here's what I'll tell you. You want to know the mark of a good marriage? They all start off as a fairy tale, don't they? That wedding day, whether you did it down at the courthouse or you had some guy like me come outside and officiate it, everybody's happy on that wedding. You've got all the stress of trying to please everyone else, and you finally get to a moment where you haven't ate, you haven't done it, you hadn't gone to the bathroom, you just need a moment to yourself, and all of a sudden everything's great in the wedding vows and the pictures. You're just so happy, even if you fake the smile. Everything's great at the beginning. But a successful marriage is only the one that doesn't survive but thrives, the one that finishes well. The same is true for our relationship with Jesus. Yes, we got fire insurance if we've given our life to him. The relationship starts well. You're, yes, let's go. Let's get people in. I met Jesus. I'm ready to go. And then all of a sudden, the first trial hits. Where's that complaint box? That's just, let's keep them going. I'm done with Jesus. Like, that's where you are. You're frustrated. You won't lean into him. You won't get to know him. You won't learn about the person of him. I'm living proof. It happens to all of us. That's why Paul says we finish the race well. Jesus didn't die for us just to survive this season, just to get through to next week. He died so that we could thrive. And so it brings me back to football season. So that's where I was on 9/11, the middle of football season, my senior year. It was crazy. I remember, like, we didn't even know if we were going to have a season, but it was crazy that we still got to have a season. So that's just one little tidbit of 9/11, but this is why I bring this up, because football has completely changed now. Maybe you don't know anything about sports. Just hang in here with me. It's going to make sense. When I was back in my day, when I played, we didn't even wear helmets. We did wear helmets because this, I mean, you probably, there's nothing up here anyway, let's be real. But we wore helmets, but we did three-a-days. We did two-a-days all summer, and for a week out of the year, we did three-a-days. And I just want to tell you how football's changed. You rarely even see pro teams do two-a-days now. Why? Safety. I just did the quotes. I don't like doing it, but safety. 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 Our entire world is so consumed with safety right now that it thinks safety is its only peace. And I want to tell you, hear me out, not a political statement. Jesus didn't die for us to be safe. He died for us to be free. And it's really hard to be safe if you don't have freedom. Period. End stop, full stop. He died on the cross so that we could be free from the penalty and death that comes with sin. And in that, we are safe in his arms and covered in him. But we can't experience that till we first experienced his freedom. And right now, many are searching for peace through safety. And it will do everything it can, this world will, to be, quote unquote, safe. And I don't know about you, but the only way to be safe is Bubble Boy, wrapped in all this stuff, like just trying to get through there, and it's just not possible. It's not possible. And so maybe that's where you are in this valley. You're trying to be safe. But as Peter just pointed out in verse 6 and 7, realistically what we said today we're going to learn through is this. These have come to prove the genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire. This moment can either destroy you or refine you. Gold is melted down. My brother-in-law, I'm not a smart man. He's explained to me this, and it's always stuck with me. Tim, he's even here today, and he talked about how the dross falls off, and it becomes more pure, the gold, as you put it in the fire. And you can look at a silver, and you think about how a sword is made. It goes in the fire, hammered down, pulled out, cooled. In the fire, hammered down, pulled out, cooled. It's molded. So are we getting destroyed by this season? Are we getting refined and made in this season? Because here's the thing. If we lean into Christ, we're being made into who he created us to be. But if we're trying to do anything else, it's only going to lead to destruction. This is where we get stuck. Like children in the midst of being disciplined, we think that it's only about this moment, that it's not connected to anything else. The trial, the suffering, the timeout we have, or the spanking, the moment. And so we go kicking and screaming, angry. How dare you, parent? How dare you? How dare you, God, make me go through this? We're kicking, screaming, and angry, and we miss that we have a good Father who is connecting this moment to something greater than us. But in the moment, we're Tyler filling that complaint box. Like, how dare you? I tell you right now, oh, that diaper I'm going to leave you later is going to be so dirty, Lord. Ugh. Like, we're just mad in the moment. Would we trust that this moment is connected to something greater than us, that will help us become who we were created to be? Because right now, in this moment, everything you're leaning on for safety, security, and peace is crumbling. It's crumbling. It's crumbling. Have you gone to the grocery store? My goodness. Bread, hey, might as well get a Krispy Kreme. I don't know if the price went up with that, but like, you know, it's just going to the gas pump. Everything. You put your hope in everything, and it's crumbling. But if you put it in Jesus, you're going to get through this because the moment is more than now. It's connected to something greater. So here's my question, the one we have to walk through in this valley, honestly, because we've been in this pandemic for 19, 20 months. I don't know how long it's been at this point in time. I lost count. Whatever it is. Have we leaned in and learned about the person of Jesus deeper in this season or not? Because if we haven't, we're missing the point of it. And we're destined to repeat it. And so for us, that's what we have to understand. Many of us are stuck in the moment. And maybe it's not this valley you're in. Maybe it's a trial you're in. Maybe it's something else you're going through. Maybe it's a trial in your marriage or a trial in work or just a trial in life. And you feel like you're suffering, and you can't understand why. And the number one reason many people think we go through trials is sin. And I just want to wipe that off the table today and say it's completely wrong. We don't go through trials because of sin. Sin destroys us. Trials refine and make and mold us. Trials are things that God allows to happen. I was joking about Job, but seriously, he makes it happen so that we come out better on the other side than how we walked in. Like, trials make, mold, refine us. They mold us to be who we were created to be. Sin will destroy us at all costs. It has nothing to do. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't go through trial because of sin. You go through death because of sin. Nothing else, nothing less. That's all that it leads to. But a trial, a suffering, temporary, will help us be who we were created to be. And that's a tough pill to swallow because we get frustrated like a kicking, screaming child. And so I just ask, have you leaned into Jesus? But more importantly, what is God teaching you in this moment? We celebrated 20 years of a terrorist attack yesterday, and many will say they know where they were, but here's the question. What did you learn from it? What did you do with it? That's what we get to be in this season. God's asking us, did you lean deeper into me? Did you get to become who you were created to be? Or did you go kicking and screaming? See, Peter was there. He was there, intimidated by a little girl and said, I don't know who Jesus is. I don't know what's going on. And Jesus goes to the cross, and some accounts have Jesus looking straight at Peter when he says it. And he thinks it's over. I did all this. I'm done. I'm wasted. And here's why. He goes to what Jesus said here in John 16, verse 31. I guarantee you when he wrote this, Jesus says, do you now believe? Jesus replied, a time is coming, in fact, has come when you will be what? Scattered. Now, how did 1 Peter start? To the exiles, scattered. Not Waffle House scattered, but like scattered. Around the world, scattered. Each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Look what Jesus says. And this is what I think Peter holds as he writes 1 Peter 1. I have told you these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, Peter's writing this to the exiles. Peter is saying, hey, those who are scattered, I want you to understand that I was there. And yet Jesus showed us how we get through the season is we're not alone. We have to know that. The Father is with us. We know we're not walking through it alone. And the only way that we know we're not alone and the Father is with us is the peace we can have regardless of the season that we're in. In this world, you will have trouble. See, prosperity gospel doesn't teach us that. But Jesus says, take heart. I've overcome the world. The longing of our heart is that peace. We're not going to sing, don't worry, we're not going to have John Lennon up here and sing War is Over. We're not going to do all that and have peace. But we search for peace. Peace. So I talked to you about C.S. Lewis when it comes to this peace. And when Peter's writing this and he's showing how we can have peace is that it can only be found in the resurrection and the person and the work of Jesus Christ for us. And all we've got to do is receive it. So here's what happens. There's C.S. Lewis, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. If you ever read that, he wrote that. But he also wrote this awesome thing called the Screwtape Letters. And basically the premise of it is a demon is assigned to a Christian to get him off of the will of God. All right, to get him out of the will of God, to do everything he can to not be who God created him to be. And so he has this uncle demon who is teaching him how to get the Christian off track. And one of the things that stands out is the uncle demon tells this demon who is assigned to this Christian this: whatever you do, keep your patient, that is the Christian, as safe as you possibly can, and he won't do the will of God. Think about that. Keep the Christian as safe, comfortable as you possibly can, all nestled up, and he won't do the will of God. That's why we have to go through trial. Jesus didn't die for us to be safe and comfortable. He died for us to be who he created us to be, to make a difference, to point to him. And right now, many of us are uncomfortable, very unsafe. And so as the world beats the drum of safety, we as Christians say, it's not about being safe to find your peace. It's about experiencing freedom. Freedom. And so I hope that you see that in this valley, you aren't alone. Because I've had to be reminded through griefs and trials, and I'm sure you have. And so right now, where you are, I just want to talk about this peace. 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 The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Shalom. I'm just saying, I probably butchered that, but shalom. Shalom. Peace. The peace that Jesus gives is shalom peace. And so the best way to describe it is imagine this wall out there. You've built this great, awesome wall, okay? Big, beautiful wall. Like you've built this wall, it's out there, but it's missing some pieces. It's got a few important pieces missing. And it's crazy because it's like the neighbor's dog is peeping through the holes in your fence, and so you need that fixed, right? Like you need this fence fixed. It's not complete and it's bothering you. You can't find the pieces to fill the gaps of it. So the Jewish culture explains it this way is what God is, the shalom peace of God, fills in those pieces, strengthens the wall, fortifies the wall, and gives you completeness. That's what shalom is, peace. That's what Jesus came to do, is give us completeness. Fill the gaps in the wall that we can never fill for ourselves. Give us something that strengthens us, completes us. Not Jerry Maguire complete, like completes us. Shalom, peace. When we have that, we can be sustained in any season. Completeness. Which brings me to this little fella here. The old brick. No, I'm not going to throw it through a window. Don't get excited. A brick. Been around for thousands of years, this little thing right here, believe it or not. If you were to look in the Old Testament, you can see that when the Jews were in Egyptian slavery, what is it they were making for the Egyptians was bricks. When Moses came to them and they were being persecuted and beaten, it was because the Jews couldn't get straw for the bricks. They had to bring their own. Go back and look over that and you can see that. Bricks, been around for thousands of years. These little things are awesome, but I'm going to get real rudimentary here right quick. This thing called a brick. In its basic form, what is used to make a brick? Clay and water. Clay and water. And you sit it out in the sun, you dry it out, and then you throw it in the fire. The fire takes the clay and water and bonds it, makes it stronger together. It gets there and it strengthens it and it's pulled out of the fire. See, here's the crazy cool thing about bricks. They're real expensive if you're building houses. I don't know. I know a good realtor that can tell you that. But they're real expensive if you build houses with it. But here's the beauty of bricks. They have about 2 to 3 times the compression power that concrete has. Like, they can withstand the force 2 to 3 times better than concrete itself. What does that look like? Well, that means that it can withstand 8 to 12,000 pounds of concentrated force, whereas concrete can only withstand 3 to 4,000 pounds. Very strong together. Now, this one isn't solid. Most of the ones that would be solid would help you. This is one that we use by God's grace to maybe prop doors open, but we won't get there. So brick, 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 brick. Strong. Goes through the fire. It's stronger. I want to take you on a journey for a second. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? On the 6th day, he created man. What did he make man out of? The dust of the earth, clay. We're often called clay, and he is the potter. But you see, to make clay work, it has to have something with it. Like, in this moment, you got to have some type of water involved, right? Well, you know, we just talked about waiting at the well, and Jesus said, hey, the water of this world isn't going to do anything, but when you have my living water, and you connect with it, and you are bonded with it, you will always be satisfied, and you will be in a well that will never run dry. And so, see, here's the trial and the season that we're in when it comes to this little brick. Would we trust that we are clay, and the living water has come and connected with us, and forged with us a relationship that will bring us to the fire and make us stronger on the other side than when we walked in it? Because see, here's the cool thing about these bricks. This is what's awesome about them. When you place them on top of each other and you put the little stuff, I don't know what it is, that fills it in, that makes it stick together, you build something with it. Not a chimney, not a barbecue in the backyard, but a house, right? You can build a house with these bricks. It's awesome that you can build a house. So what if this trial, this season that we're walking in, as God's children, his clay, filled with the living water that is Christ, being molded in shape, thrown into the fire, we're being built upon one another to build God's house on the chief cornerstone, the foundation of the saints that have gone before us. What if we, our brick, this us, this moment, this unprecedented time that we live in, God is throwing us in the fire to bring us out stronger on the other side so that something could be built upon us that is his house? Would we trust that, or will we complain about it? Will we let it make us and refine us, or will we let it destroy us? My friends, the brick, it's beautiful. Because that wall is brick. Completeness. So the question is, where we started, is the world will not be at peace until all have made their peace with God. Have you made your peace with God? Have you? Have you made your peace with God? Because see, that's the only way that you could ever experience peace that Jesus died to give you. Not something you earn, not something you build, not something you do, but something you receive. Something you receive. See, I said it a second ago, but the thing we fear most that gives us the least peace is death. But Jesus has overcome it. And those of us who are in Christ Jesus don't have to fear what most fear the most. And so, maybe right now you're in Christ Jesus, and I pray and believe those of us who are being reminded that he is molding and making us to be stronger on the other side of the fire than how we walked in it. But others of us right now, we neglect that we are clay. It says that our bodies are we're made from dust and we'll go back to dust, but our souls will live on for eternity. And you've been trying to add your own water to this thing to make it stronger. You've added the water of this world. You've added the water of career, the water of good works, the water of safety, the water of health. You've added all kinds of water to this, and you can't understand why when you go to the fire, you ain't nothing but mud, formless, a blob. I just want to say, have you considered the living water? Have you considered Jesus? Have you surrendered to that? Would you trust that in this moment that there is something greater than this moment going on inside of you, pointing you to something that is greater, and it can only be found in Jesus because it's the only thing that will satisfy, sustain, and complete you? And so how do you go about that? See, I told you Jesus said he's overcome death, he's overcome this world, but John 3:16 and 17 reminds us that God himself so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, my friend, you just have to believe and receive. You just have to stop chasing the water of this world. Stop trying to make your clay better than it was when it began. Stop trying to do everything you can to refine the clay, and instead just trust in the living water that can only come from Jesus. So with every head bow and every eye closed, the reason we do what we do is not only be reminded to grow to be all that Jesus created us to be, but to know that the only way we can is through Christ, his resurrection, his blood for us. You see, Jesus came because all of us are born into sin, and that sin will always lead to death. Always lead to death. There's no way for us to get rid of it. We can't try to get out of it on our own. We can't self-help our way out of it enough. Sin, the wages of it is death. But God loved us enough, as we just read, that he sent his son to do something about it. So Jesus came. He lived the perfect sinless life we couldn't live. He died the death, paying the penalty for our sins on the cross, and then still loved us enough not to stay dead. That same Holy Spirit that was there at the beginning, the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead, is the same Holy Spirit that lives in us when we receive him and the free gift of salvation he came, died, and rose again to give us. So right now in this moment, we're gonna pray this prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It is the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And so with every head bow and every eye closed, would you please repeat this prayer after me? Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if you can say in the house, online, or listening throughout the week, if for the first time you have given your life to Jesus, I'm gonna count to three and boldly ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Online, you're gonna see a hand that's raised. Hey, maybe you're listening. You can shoot us a comment. If you're in the app right now, you can connect with us there. You can shoot us an email at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. We wanna celebrate this decision with you, because I want to tell you, no matter what valley comes or what mountain you're on, you have Christ Jesus that will sustain you and give you peace in every season. For the rest of us, you can look up. We're gonna worship here in a second, and it's an awesome song that we're gonna get to worship with. But would we be reminded in the moment of this how we have been set free from sin? We're not a slave to self. We're not a slave to the world. We're not a slave to the hopes of the world. But we we are bound in relationship with, forged with, consumed by the freedom that is found in Christ and Christ alone. So would you stand and sing with us? We can celebrate not having to be slaves to fear. We can celebrate being a child of God, and we can have peace in that. And that's what we get to share with the world, even in the moments of our valleys, trials, and struggles. Thank you for hanging out with us this week. We would love to see your smiling face. Next week, we got a seat saved for you. Have an awesome week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.